I know the words of that song are needed by somebody in this room. We need to be reminded that He is good, and He is good to us personally. He loves each one of us individually, and He knows where we are in our life right now. And there is a lot of times we don't understand. There's a lot of times it doesn't make sense. And it is during those times, Mike, we have to choose to love God. We have to choose to trust God. When we can't see. Sing that again.
When I don't understand, I will love You. When I don't understand, I will love You, God. When I don't understand, I will choose You. When I don't understand, I will choose to love You, God.
God, that's our cry. That's our prayer. That's our declaration. It may go against every single thing in us right now to even say it out loud. But there's truth in it. There's truth in it, God. When I don't understand, I have to run to You. It doesn't matter what it looks like. When I don't understand, I have to remember that You love me. When I don't understand, God, I will choose to love You. I will willfully choose to press into You. Because, God, so many times we give up on this side of the threshold, right before You move. And we never know that You were about to move. God, may we be people of perseverance and endurance. May we be reminded, Father, that if it's not good, You're not finished. God, pour into us today for reasons only You know. Pour into us those needs that we don't know about each other in this building. You pour into us, Father, by Your Spirit, Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Pour into us, Lord. God, as we listen this morning, God, I know there's a message that it may not even be about anything I say. God, You may speak and somebody hears something completely different. God, You can do that. God, there's been so many Sundays when someone comes and they tell me something that I said and I don't even remotely remember saying that, God, and I think it's just You. So this morning, God, despite the subject matter, minister to our hearts. Whether we think we need it or we think we don't need it, show us what we really need. Show us that it's not always about us, God. Sometimes it's for the people around us. Sometimes it's to keep us from falling, to strengthen us and keep us strong. And sometimes it's just to meet us in the bottom of the pit. God, we know that Your arm is long enough to reach us wherever we are. And You're strong enough to pull us up. And You never let go. So, Father God, just like Mike said, a bunch of broken people in a room that are gathered together to worship You. We know we're broken. You know we're broken. We don't pretend here. We offer ourselves up to You just as we are. And we know, God, that that is beautiful to You. So we just rejoice in You in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Don't sit down. Ha, 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 ha. Guess what? You ready? Were you here last week? Okay, if you weren't, sorry. Ladies, to the left. Men, to the right. The four chairs in the middle have to stay empty. So ladies, you can sit in this section and you can sit in these three chairs. Men, you can sit in this section and these three chairs. Let's go. 12 years. When I was listening to that message to preach again, I mentioned you. I heard myself talking to you in church that day, 12 years ago. Yeah. If I'd said there were food in either section, I wonder how fast you would have moved. All right. Women are on the left, men are on the right. So guess what, ladies? It's your turn. It's your turn. Now, fellas, I'm going to tell you what I told you last, what I told the ladies last week. You're not off the hook. This isn't nap time, sleep time. This isn't personal Bible study or get on your phone time. This is listen and apply time. All right, ladies, you heard what I just said. Are you ready? Are you sure? Wow, I love it. I figured the second time I asked, you'd say no. If you were not here last week, we separated the church, and the men were over here, and the women were over here, and the message was to the men, but ladies, you listened, right? Amen. All right, and we separated men and women because in this series we're in called Walk This Way, where we are just going through the book of Proverbs and looking at key subjects in life, there are sometimes subjects that come up that are sensitive, amen? And sometimes, like, a husband may not want to sit by his wife, or a wife may not want to sit by her husband, especially if it pertains to that individual. So last week, we addressed the men on one of the key things that we see happening in our society and how easy it is for men to stumble in a specific way. And you can go back and you can look at that on our website or our Facebook page, by the way. Thank you for listening on Facebook. Share and like us on Facebook, please. And ladies, today it's your turn. And you don't want your husband sitting by you. This one's, you know, there are Sundays where it's harder to preach a message than other Sundays. This is one of those Sundays. So ladies, I want you to take this very personal, but I don't want you to take it personally. Does that make sense? Don't walk out of here saying the pastor doesn't like me. The pastor thinks that everybody that's a lady in the church is this way. Just listen. Are you ready? All right, this is a message series I preached 12 years ago. So if anybody in the room thinks that somebody told me something about you this week, that's not true. This month, that's not true. I have not preached this message series in 12 years, and I rarely repeat a series. It happens to fall like this on this day. All right, ladies, let me say this to you. We talked about men being spiritual leaders last week. Do you remember? Today, if you choose not to receive this message, if you choose not to be teachable, if you choose not to embrace it, I can promise you this will affect your husband's ability and desire to lead. Okay? So just tune in for that reason alone. Even if it doesn't apply to you specifically, this is a good tool to have in your life. It's a good teaching to give someone else and as you raise your daughters. Amen? All right, moms. So, ladies, the way you conduct yourself, just like men, the way you conduct yourself will or will not give permission for your husband to be the person God created him to be. Now, that sounds funny. I'm not saying permission of God. I'm saying the environment that is produced in the home can stifle. It can stifle. It can discourage. And knowing the character of us men, sometimes we just say, whatever. Amen? Amen? Right? Do it your way. Right? Or whatever. That happens sometimes. Discouragement can creep in. We're just people. Amen? We're all just people trying to find our way. Ladies, let me say this to you this morning, just in case you've forgotten before we even start. You can't change him. You did know that, right? Or how many of you have suddenly found out it's very discouraging? Thank you for not raising your hand, honey. I'm not even going to call Brian Mullen's wife by name. Yeah. Brian's just over there. Mm-hmm. He's outnumbered. There's how many girls in the home? Four? Too many? Too many. All right, I didn't say your name. Turn to Proverbs 19. Turn to Proverbs 19. Men, this can be you. Usually, this particular subject falls more in the ladies' camp because of what I said last week. Women are made more emotionally, Men are made more practically and logically. God did that. There's nothing wrong with either side. That's why when you get married, there's a balance. Amen? And so, as a result of being the emotional, carrying a lot of the emotional characteristics of God, by the way, you were made in the image of God. You were made in the image of God. He made them male and female in His image, all right? So there's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you except for sin, okay? He made you to be emotional, maternal, undergirders, supporters, and Scripture undergirds that. Man, He made you to be leaders, okay? Scripture undergirds that and holds us highly accountable. But in Psalm 19, Proverbs 19, let me bring you to a verse. Ladies, put on your seatbelt. Here we go. Psalm 19, verse 13. A foolish son is his father's ruin. Anybody want to preach for me? And a quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping. Have you ever had a leak in your house? You ever been sitting in the living room and you hear it? Right? Is it the sink? Is it the kitchen? Is it the bathroom? It drives you nuts. So you know when it's winter time, that one of the things we do, if it gets into freezing temperatures, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll drip our faucets, right, guys? You usually use the ones that turn them on and drip them, right? And what happens is you'll go into the bathroom, and if you have a bathroom in your bedroom or close to your bedroom, you may experience this. I experience this sometimes. You go in and say you drip the sink or you drip the tub and it's steadily going and you get it right like how you want it. Don't want to use too much water, guys. Got to pay a bill, right? And they know. So you get in bed and you hear it and it drives you nuts. You're lying there, you're trying to sleep. My mouth's too dry to do it now. You hear the dripping, all right? So you get up. You shut the bathroom door, which you should have done to begin with. You could still hear it. So you get up again, and you think, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to get a washcloth, and I'm going to put it in the sink, which I should have done to begin with, put it in the sink or put it in the tub, and then when the water drips, you can't hear it anymore. And then you go and you get back in bed. And just before you go to doze off, the washcloth is now completely saturated and you get psh, psh, psh. You can't win for losing. You can't fall asleep. It drives you nuts. God, I don't even want to look at him. God says in the Word, from a man's perspective, this is from a man's perspective, that when you have a wife who is, let me read it correctly, quarrelsome. Let's expand that a little bit, ladies. Negative. Critical. Complaining. I don't even want to look at y'all. Nagging. Oh, my gosh. Right? You own me. Okay? It's like a constant dripping. Makes you want to go outside. Makes you want to find a project in the garage. I'm not talking about my wife. Right? It makes you want to have some space. Does it produce anything positive? This is a safe zone. Does it produce anything positive? Does it produce anything positive? See, you would have said it louder if you knew that their no was that loud. You're afraid. You have to go home with her. Ladies, be teachable. If it's in God's Word, it's important. Amen? Turn over to Proverbs 21. Because if it's only in there once, right? But it's not in there once. Proverbs 21. In verse 9, And remember that the writer is writing this from the perspective of how a man receives this. Here he says in Proverbs 21:9, he says, better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. Now that may sound ridiculous in our culture, but you have to understand in Jewish culture that they had flat roofs, and sometimes the roof of their house was like an additional room in the house. And you would go up there to do your prayers, like your morning, your afternoon, and your evening prayers. And it was just sort of that escape place where you could have quiet and silence and meditate and spend time with God. But the reality is, the scripture says it's better to live on the roof. It's better to live in the blazing sun or the freezing cold, in the rain, than in the comfort of the sheltered home if you live with a quarrelsome, negative, critical, complaining wife. I'm just reading scripture. By the way, you'll sit together next week. I won't do this again, maybe for 12 more years. Ladies, let me tell you a couple things that don't work. How many times do I have to tell you? Lori will tell you I'm living proof. She thinks I'm deaf. How about this one? You never fill in the blank. You always fill in the blank. If you've ever been to counseling in your life, those two words will be eliminated from your vocabulary, right? They're dangerous words, and they're rarely true. If you never do something, but you did it once, never's not the right word. You always this. Those are attacking words, and he longs for the roof. He longs for the roof. Scripture tells us to build one another up, to esteem one another higher than ourselves. But sometimes you get frustrated, right? Right? With him, right? Lori, say right. She's like, I'm not in this. She does get frustrated with me sometimes. I get frustrated with her. Like, do you get frustrated with her? Okay, so we're all in this together. I said, don't look left and right, Macy. Chase, don't respond. Ladies, let me ask you, if this is the atmosphere of your home, what do you really get out of it? What peace is produced in your home? Right? None. How much better does it make the relationship? Verse 19. Proverbs 19, verse 19. Better to live in a desert. It's becoming stronger, isn't it? Like, what's next, right? Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. A wife who doesn't have a good temperament. Better to live in the desert. Let's see how that would play out, fellas. How much shade is in the desert? None. The only thing you lean up against is a cactus, and that's not smart. Better to go out in the desert where there's no water, where your skin will be completely blistered, where your lips will crack, your stomach will swell because you have no food, and you will die, than to live with an ill-tempered or quarrelsome wife. I'm just reading scripture. God's telling us how this affects a man in the home. Will it produce fruit? Well, maybe. I mean, it might produce fruit in the sense that he does whatever, but why did he do it? Right? He might do it, but be resentful on the inside. He might do it, but feel discouraged on the inside. And so, as we've talked about so many times in church, our words matter, amen? Guys, our words matter. And we're worse with words sometimes. They're more expressive with their words. Oh, you haven't had enough? Okay. Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Listen to what Proverbs 27 says. Proverbs 27. Let's start at verse 15. Proverbs 27, verse 15 says this. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping, but it's going further now, on a rainy day. Have you ever gone outside and seen how long your eaves drip after it quits raining? Have you ever noticed that? Or like when the snow melts off your roof, that happens what, once every couple of years? Or the ice, and then like you go out and you look and it's all gone and the roof is just drip, 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 drip. So now what the writer here is saying is, in my understanding, would be something along these lines. If that becomes a lifestyle, it becomes a habit. Okay? And habits you don't even know you're doing, right? I mean, a lot of times you just do it by rote. You do it just second nature. You don't even know what's going on. It's just become this habit, which is very hard to break. And until someone points it out, you don't know. It becomes a constant dripping. Will it ever end? It's your new normal. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. He's talking about a habit here. He's talking about once something becomes a part of your lifestyle, it's impossible to restrain. Have you ever caught the wind in your hand? Can't do it, right? I mean, you open it up, it's not there. It's always moving. Think about grabbing a hold of, let's say this mic stand here was cemented into the ground, and you grab a hold of this and try to get somebody to pull you off, and you hold it with all your strength. There's going to be a battle, right? Now let's say we put a bunch of oil in your hand, and we grab this mic stand. How fast are you coming off? Instantly, right? To ask someone to hold oil in their hand and let it not go through their fingers is impossible. You should try it sometime. First of all, it travels down all the little crevices of your hand, and it does get between your fingers. You don't have the strength to keep it from dripping through your fingers. He says, when it becomes this habitual lifestyle, there's no stopping it. Because you don't even know you're doing it anymore, unless you're really mad, right? You always got to up it to the next place, to the next level. And so he's speaking to wives about men, and he's saying a wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind. It's impossible. Or grasping oil with the hand. Very, very difficult. Men, here's the thing. There are times when what she has to say to you is legitimate. Amen? Amen? I knew that was going to happen. Right? But here's the thing. Don't dump on her more than she can handle. And I don't just mean with your words. I mean with your lifestyle. So in other words, if I just decide that I don't want to pay these bills this month and Lori can pay the bills, and I don't want to take out the trash this month so Lori can take out the trash, and I don't want to do those things that are sort of create a balance in the home, and I just decide I don't want to do those things, and then maybe Lori needs new tires on her car, and so I call her up and I say, well, just take the car down to wherever. Order yourself some tires. Take the car down to wherever. And she feels like that's my responsibility. Along with the fact that she works, along with the fact that, not she anymore, but used to, raise children. Along with the fact that, you know, she has other things going on in her life. She's preparing 2 Bible studies. She does all these other things. Whatever it is you do in your life, you have a busy life. Amen? Like you're raising kids, you're working, you're cleaning the house, you're doing laundry, you're cooking dinner, you're all these different things. And then sometimes we as guys are lazy and we say, well, I worked all day. But there are duties that you didn't do. In my house, I do the laundry. I take that off of Lori. I do the laundry. There's a reason for that, but we've talked about that before. I like to mess with Lori about that. I think she did it on purpose so that I do the laundry. I'm not real sure. She's nodding yes. But what if I just decide, when she's used to me doing that, and I pay the bills, and what if I just decide I'm not going to do that, and I just decide to dump that on her? Do you think she's going to become frustrated when she's already doing all these other things? Do you think that if we make decisions completely by ourselves all the time, that they're going to be frustrated? Right? The nod. Well, I get nods and I get the vocal over here, but that's okay. Right. Don't dump more on her. She's your helpmate. She's not your maid. Okay? Lori and I kid about that all the time. She'll say, oh, there's something on the floor. And I say, oh, I'm going to have to tell the maid. She's the maid. Right? We don't have a maid. But don't dump more on her. And don't leave her out of major life decisions and expect her to be okay with it. Because that's not a marriage. It's not a partnership. It's not a relationship. Don't come home and say, I spent $5,000 on something. Right? And if he does, don't tit for tat. Don't go spend $5,000 to get him back. What will that produce? Well, debt. Right? And arguments. Ladies, turn to 1 Peter. Listen, those verses come up those four times in the book of Proverbs, other places I believe as well. But those four times, it's a message. And the message is, God created you to be emotional, nurturing, loving, to think about things with feelings and all that. He created you that way on purpose. There's nothing wrong with you, okay? Remember that. Guys, he created us to be leaders. He created us to be decision makers. He created us to be practical. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? Men and women are different, okay? Have you heard me say before, men are like waffles, women are like spaghetti? It's an old book. Years and years I've been talking about this, but it's so true. Men are like waffles. We operate in one box at a time. Don't ask me to go to another box. That's like asking me to get out of the car, climb over the fence, and get into another car. I can't just drive over there. I don't have the ability to do that. It's frustrating, right? We operate in one box at a time. We're logical. We're practical. Let's get it done. We're fixers. We operate in a box. And ladies, let me say to you that sometimes there's a box that actually exists that's empty. So when you say to your husband, what are you thinking about? What does he say? Nothing. And then you go, who are you thinking about? Right? I mean, it's just, no, really, there's nothing in that box. Lori, I can disappear really easy. If Lori and I can take a trip to Florida, she will testify to this. It's not intentional. You're going to think I'm a horrible person now. I'm going to go to the men's side. We can literally drive to Florida, and I never say a word. It does not bother me at all. I think I've done it before. She's like, oh, yes. Yes, he's done it. God love him. We can do that. There's nothing in the box. It's downtime. And I think some of the reasons, guys, why there's nothing in the box is because God made us to be leaders, and we're having to deal with all these very practical things. When we have a moment to not deal with something practical, we disappear. It's a great place to be. It's a great place to be. Men and women are different. It's okay. It's okay. Just don't live in that box. But it is okay. Women, you can string stuff together that I don't even understand. Right? You're like spaghetti. You can start somewhere. You can go all over the place and tie everything together and come back and know exactly where you are. And in 30 seconds, you've already lost him. Details don't work with men. Right? Am I right? They don't work. You just lose the person. And, you know, on the inside, a lot of times what men are doing is they don't say it out loud, but they want to. I'm so sorry. I need to come over here. But men inside are sometimes just going, get to the point. Right? Please help me. Okay, there's a few. And it's not personal, but it feels personal, right? But it's just, we're not wired that way. It's okay to be wired differently. It's not okay to say out loud, get to the point. I'm sure there's a few that do. 1 Peter, ladies, God has a plan for your life. He has a plan for dealing with your husband, dealing with life, dealing with friends, dealing with everything. But wives are addressed in 1 Peter chapter 3. Matter of fact, the very first word in 1 Peter chapter 3 is wives. Okay? This is what Peter says. He says, wives, in the same way, don't miss that. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. I don't know what your view of submissive is, and I don't know what your view of submissive is, but to the guys, I can say it's not bullying. It's not brute force. It's not attitude. It's not strong arming. It doesn't work, right? Okay. Ladies, submissive does not mean that you walk behind your husband with your head hung down, right? Okay. God created you to be an undergirder. He cannot lead if you don't undergird. Impossible. That's how God made us. She cannot undergird you if you're not leading. There's nothing to undergird, right? Do you see the delicate balance of how God made men and women? The problem is sin came in. That's the problem. Sin came in. But the thing is, it doesn't absolve either one of us from doing our job, for living the way God created us to live. In other words, you have to be godly because the relationship is this, way before it's this, right? And you have to be godly because your relationship is this before it's this. That has to be there first. It has to be always first. Who do you love? Who do you serve? The Lord. Right? And if you're not married, guess what? He is your husband. That's what Scripture says. He's the example to the men, but he's also the example to the women. God created them male and female in his image. 1 Peter 1, in the same way, be submissive to your husband. So what do? It doesn't mean you walk behind him. It means you walk beside him. How does he know you're undergirding him if he can't tell you're right there next to him, right? He needs to know, my support system is right there. We're joined at the hip. The two became one. That's who we are, right? That's who you are as ladies. The undergirder walks beside the leader. Not behind, not before, beside. And do what God created you to be, to undergird your husband. Ladies, this sometimes can be very hard. There's going to be times your husband is going to make decisions you don't like. And you know what you really need to do? Let him. That's a hard one. Let him. Because if it's the wrong decision, that's on him. If it's the wrong decision, that's between God and him. He is accountable for everything. If your husband says, hey, would you start paying the bills because I'm not very good at it? I personally believe, y'all can say whatever you want. It doesn't matter. Just in my home, I believe that we should be paying the bills. That's what I believe. So we know where the finances are going. We're in charge. We pay the house taxes and all those different things. We're earning, that's what I believe. You don't have to believe that. Just don't justify. That's all I'm going to say about that, okay? Lori is better because, Lori used to pay the bills because she worked at the bank. And it made sense because she always knew everything that was going through the account. She paid the bills, but she got frustrated paying the bills. Gosh, years in, 20 years in or whatever. And I felt really convicted one day without her even knowing or knowing she was frustrated. God's telling me to take that over, so I did. And it was after I took it over that I realized that she was frustrated. And it was also after I took it over that she didn't think I could do it right. And that's not criticism on her, just that she'd always done it, and she knows I'm harebrained. And then I did do it right. So not only did it give her relief, but it increased her trust, okay? But whatever that is, that you're responsible for everything that happens in your home. If your wife makes a decision about your children, and you allow that decision to happen, and it's not godly, you are the one God's coming after, not her. That's how it works. That's why leadership is brutal. It's why we have empty boxes, really. At the end of the day, it falls on the man. He told Adam in the garden, work and keep. Work and keep what I created. maintain it. Don't destroy it. Don't distort it. Don't change it to what you want it to be. The men's job is to work and to keep. That's a terrible job. How can I work and keep what God created? How can I work and keep God's law? I'm a sinner. It's a terrible place to be. That's why God created a role of undergirder for the men. But you've got to let him do it. If he messes up, he messes up. Don't say, I told you so. Does that make your home better? No. You know what you say? You grab them and say, you know what? We're in this together. We'll figure it out. That is breath to a soul. It's breath to a soul. If you don't believe it, say it anyway. It's breath to a soul. Wives, in the same way. In what way? Well, if he's going to say that, then something before led us to that point. Turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And in 1 Peter chapter 2, he's going to tell us, Peter's going to tell us what 1 Peter chapter 3 is talking about. Wives, in the same way. In what way? Well, here it is. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm actually going to back up a verse, but that's okay. Look at verse 22, talking about Jesus. Now, this is talking about Jesus under the most stressful conditions of his life. There's no worse time in Jesus' life than now, in his human life than now. He is being accused of being a false Messiah. He's going to the cross. He's dying for our sins. He's innocent. And it's a description of how Jesus handled himself under the greatest of trials, okay? And he says, ladies, in the same way, what does he want you to do? Model, say it, Christ, right? And the men's the same way. We always need to model Christ. But here he's saying, wives, in the same way, model Christ. What did Christ do? Well, he tells us. He committed no sin in verse 22, and no deceit was found in his mouth. Verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. That's a tough one, isn't it? I can't let them get away with that. You can do that with your boss, with your friend, with your somebody on Facebook, with your husband, right? With your wife. It's so easy. We can all do that, right? I don't have to take this. But he says, if you're going to follow Christ and model after Christ, then here's one of the things you need to look like. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made how many threats? None. That's brutal. Maybe it is harder to be you. And on top of all that, he says he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. That's where it's at right there. That's the story of life right there for men and for women. Entrust yourself to the one who judges justly. This is an unjust or unjust world, isn't it? And we see, I mean, people's sins affect other people. And we get affected by it. It's not just, it's not fair, unless you really step back and you realize that we all contribute to the sin pool. And all of our sin, no matter how strong or weak it is, affects other people. But here he says, at the end of the day, this is what we need to do. Entrust yourself to him who judges justly. To him who is completely fair. To God's character. Not to her character, not to his character. To God's character. But why specifically leading you up? He wants to teach you something that's still coming in Scripture. And he goes on and says, remember, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. He did that under those conditions for us and handled himself that way for a greater purpose. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands. Why? So that if any of them do not believe the word, we're talking about a lost person here, okay? Do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. Does that make sense? Right? Sometimes you have to remember. I do this with people all the time, right? I just say, okay, if they act lost, I'm going to consider them as lost. Because it's so much easier for me to consider them lost than to think they're a Christian and acting that way. Right? And so there's times where you run into people, it doesn't matter who, it's your husband, it's anybody. Some of your husband may not be saved. I don't know. But you conduct yourself in such a way that if he is lost, Your life is so believable in your relationship with Christ that that's what wins him over, not your words. Now, if you have a believing husband, this is what I would say to you. If your believing husband is acting ungodly, you do the same thing, right? You do this toward ungodly behavior. You conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel. It doesn't mean you sit there with your hands folded. There's times where you do have to say, and men, you got to be ready for this, where you do have to say, you're not going to talk to me like that. That's okay. What I'm not saying, sit in your home with your hands folded. I'm talking about someone who has a critical spirit, a negative spirit, a cuff half empty spirit, someone who loves to fight, or it doesn't take much to get you going, right? But there are times we stand, right? There are times all of us stand. You do it with your boss, you do it with your husband, you do it with your child for sure. You're not going to talk to me like that. That's okay. It's the stuff that destroys your home. Discussions have to happen in homes sometimes, obviously. But he says here, what he's more interested in is the same thing Jesus did. When Jesus suffered, he didn't open his mouth. When Jesus suffered, he had a greater calling. He decided to die for the people that made him suffer anyway. There was a greater purpose. And he says to you as wives, he says, listen to me. In the same way, he says, you should do this. You should win your husband over without words by your behavior. And you know what your behavior is? It's who you really are. It's your character, right? We can all pretend, but when you get squeezed, who are you? That's who you really are. And that's what God wants you to see in you. And I think that's important. Important to see that. You know, sometimes God's discipline is negative, right? It's not positive. It's punitive. But if it shows us something about me, and I can do something about that, the discipline was worth it, right? I mean, you do discipline your children, right? You discipline your children because you don't want them to go that way. Not because you don't like your children, but because you love your children. God says in his word that he disciplines us and that no discipline is pleasant at the time, but it's used so that we will learn to be made in the image of Christ, right? So the same thing here for all of us, not just ladies, men too. Our behavior should be the first thing that is the litmus test for who we are before we ever speak. You should never have to speak the gospel and someone should still be convinced you're a Christian. Of course, you're called to speak the gospel. We all are. But that should be what's happening. So if your church life and your home life, or your church life and your work life, or your church life and your public life, this is for all of us, is different, something's wrong. Either you're not a Christ follower or you don't take it seriously. You don't understand what God has done for you. And it's not about you. It's about who's yet to come. It's about the gospel. It's always about the gospel. So here, ladies, he goes on and he says this. He says, to win over by the behavior of their wives, verse 2, when they see the purity and reverence of your lives. Again, it doesn't mean that you're walking around going, oh, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you love God more than you love him. And it shows. You'll suffer for whatever for him before you'll ruin kingdom things with him. But it doesn't mean you're a doormat. Don't ever get that message out of this. There's always a way to handle yourself. Guys, there's always a way to handle yourself. And so he says here in verse 3, and this is where some churches misunderstand, and I don't want you to misunderstand. Verse 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair, the wearing of gold jewelry, and fine clothes. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. What he's saying is this. If you put your outer beauty ahead of your inner beauty, there's going to be a problem because outer beauty fades. Okay? You can Botox till you look like a Barbie doll. You can Botox till he walks to the door and goes, hello. Just saying, be careful. It's gradual and you don't notice. Becomes a habit and you get in trouble. He's drawn to you because you're beautiful. We talked about that last week. Men are drawn through their eyes. Women, you're drawn through your hearts. But that fades. The new will wear off. And when it does, what you're left with is the substance of the person you're with. And that's what's important. And so when the beauty fades or when the new wears off or whatever it is, how do you draw him in? Scripture tells us how to draw him in. He says it's not with braided hair and gold jewelry, but instead he says it's with the inner self, the unfaded beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. What that doesn't mean that you never say anything. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a spirit at peace, a gentle and quiet spirit, an undergirder, a helpmate, okay? So we live in this culture right now, ladies, where you're under a lot of pressure. You got to have the name brand clothes, the name brand shoes, the name brand bag. You got to live in the big house, drive the fine car, have the latest $1,000 cell phone. You got to have the makeup, the nails. The friend gets the nails done, you've got to get the nails done. The pedicure, the get your hair colored, get your teeth white, and all that kind of stuff. You're still going to end up in a coffin. There's a brutal message, isn't it? Have a great day. But it's true. So how lasting is that? I mean, I know you may do, listen, if you do that for you to make yourself feel better, have a great day. Go to the spa, have a great day. Everybody needs a day off. Everybody needs some me time. But if you're using your outer beauty to maintain a relationship, that is a shallow relationship that has no substance whatsoever. And God is saying, let me tell you how to fix it. He's telling us in advance how to fix this. Men, he's telling us in advance how to receive it. You know, last week we talked about, well, she's not as pretty as she used to be, and I told you, you aren't either. But the reality is, the longer you live, the more wrinkles you got. It's reality. The more your joints hurt, your skin gets crepey, your hair falls out. Don't know what I'm talking about. It's gonna happen. That's not gonna keep a relationship together. It may have started your relationship, men. It may have drawn you to her initially, but that's not what kept you there, and that's not what keeps you there. But what keeps him there is up to you in a lot of ways. Are you a helpmate? Are you an encourager? Are you a person that builds up decisions even when you may not like them? It's okay to talk about loud, but at the end of the day, you got to get alongside. You've got to, or there's going to be division before a decision was ever made. You've got to trust him. He needs you to trust him. He's made to be trusted. You've got to do that, or it's going to cause conflict, not because he's prideful, although we are, but because God made him a very certain way. And he made you a very certain way to deal with his certain way. And he made you a certain way to deal with her certain way. You have strengths to his weakness. You have strengths to her weaknesses. That's why marriage is beautiful. But please understand this. At the end of the day, marriage is not about you. It was never about you. It's for you, but it's not about you. Marriage is a picture of Christ's love for his church, his sacrifice for his church. That's why Christ is called the bridegroom and the church is called the bride. Over and over in Scripture, our marriages are a picture to the world. Can God? Will God? That's what they are. And when we give up on our marriages because of ourselves, because we don't want to be kingdom, because we had a rough week, a rough month, or a rough year, We're quitting on God. We're quitting on one of our unspoken witnesses. Lori and I went to our class reunion, our 20th class reunion, however long ago that was, you don't need to know. And I had someone come up to me and they said, how do you do it? I said, how do I do what? And they said, you're still married after 20 years. We got married right out of high school. After 20 years, you're still married. And the person was talking to me and all the people around them have been divorced numerous times in a very short period of time. And I was just honest with them. I said, I stayed. It's not magic. I stayed. That's what I did. I stayed because of the vow I made to God before the vow I made to her even. I realized that every decision I make after this point, fellas, every decision I make after this point affects every person I've encountered prior to that. Make sense? Every person I've witnessed to, every class that I've taught, every statement I've made in life group, you name it, if I say what my belief system is and I share my belief system and then I walk out of a marriage because I had a rough year, everyone who's watching me does now not believe anything I said. It happens. It's my greatest fear when people start splitting. I always tell the man, I'm always harder on the man because you're the leader and you're supposed to make it happen. I'm just telling you how it is. If you're divorced, you can't go back. There's nothing you do about it. This is not criticism today. This is reality check. Do you know what you signed up for? I get so tired of people saying, I didn't sign up for this. I counsel a lot of people, a lot of couples, and that's usually what is said. I didn't sign up for this. And y'all know what I say back. Yes, you did. When you made a vow for better or worse, you just thought the worst wasn't going to happen. But you made a vow to God. And there's worse. If there's not worse, something's wrong. I mean, you married yourself or something. I even get mad at me. I don't know how that would work either. But when you stay, man, you get on the other side of things and you laugh about it later. You go, it was nothing. You know? But it only works. Like, for those of you who've been through divorce, you may say, but it didn't happen that way. Listen, that's why this teaching is in God's Word. This is how it doesn't happen. You lead. You undergird. You're a partner. The two become one. It has to happen. It doesn't happen on one day. It happens every single day of your life. So back to the ladies. I know it's hard because I know who we are and how we are. Believe me. Lori and I got frustrated with each other yesterday. She handled herself far better than I handled myself. I needed a box for just a second. But you know what? We're fine. I just got through the top of it. Done. It wasn't a screaming match or anything like that. I was like, I need my box. And then I was able to hear. And we were able to talk. It was a 5-minute deal. It was over. Yay. Because it used to be 3 days with us. Seriously, didn't it? 3 days. We wouldn't speak to each other. It's a wonder we stayed married. That was probably the 20-year mark when I was bragging about how you stay. I was on the roof. I know, babe. It was me, not you. Gosh. I mean, really. Listen, church. Until our lives really come to the point that we understand that we are His and everything about us is His, and we get off the throne and put Him in His rightful place, it will never be what you're looking for. You can't fight it to make it what you want it to be. You can't force it to make it what you want to be. It doesn't matter. He does it. Ladies, for you, this is my encouragement to you. God is always at work. Always at work. And He can't be whatever you want Him to be because that's idolatry on your part. You don't get to make Him in your image. God is going to want to make Him in His image. He wants to make you in your image. And until both images are working, it'll never be what you want it to be. But it doesn't mean He's not working. Don't quit. Men, don't quit. That's what you have to do. God's always at work. Think about it for just a minute. Think about, Syl and where's Sherby? Okay, Syl and Sherby, just say they're having problems. And Syl has been waiting and waiting and waiting and praying and praying and praying. Or maybe she's been arguing and arguing and arguing, whatever it may be. And in that moment, doesn't realize that there are three other things God has to do in Sherby before He can ever answer that prayer request. And maybe Sherby can't get those three things taken care of because they depend on the men of the church who aren't ministering to Sherby or discipling Sherby. And so you start looking backwards more and more and more, and you realize that God is weaving this tapestry together, and it takes time because we're stubborn people. And we want to go our own way. We want everything to be good overnight. We live in a drive-through, get it now, wait for nothing, disposable world, and it is killing us. And you young people, when I say young, I mean if you're under 40, I know if you're 40, you think you're young, but let's just say for the sake of argument, if you're under 40, you're this new generation, you're a new culture, and you have grown into and grown up in get it now, wait for nothing, get it now, wait for nothing, ordered online, get it tomorrow if you got Prime, and you don't know how to wait, you don't know how to work through it, you're not willing to work through it, because everyone around you says throw it away and get another. The problem is you're taking your broken self into another relationship with that broken person. And as long as we're broken, it's not going to work. Do you know how many times God tells us to love one another in the Bible? It's hard. Love's not how you feel. Men, we don't have a whole lot of feelings anyway. We should be better. It's an action. Ladies, sometimes you have to get past how you feel. Because it can't just be emotional, because he's broken, you're broken, the car broke down today and everything went out of the window, right? You have to act on love, act on your vows. You and you are a product of a marriage covenant that he made. And this isn't even a message on marriage so much, but it's become one. That's okay. God's working. But a marriage will never work until you fulfill your role and you fulfill yours. And I am sorry to say, ladies, that sometimes it's harder for you. Because we're just like plowing through. And you're feeling it all. But I'm telling you, God is faithful. And if you will remember that he's always at work and there are circumstances behind the scenes that are lining up, your prayer life will become bigger. You'll start praying for other circumstances. You'll start praying, God, I don't know what you're doing in my husband right now, but I know you're doing something because you're God. He may be fighting you and resisting you, but you're God. And I know, God, that it's going to depend on maybe some other things. Maybe it's something from his background that he hasn't dealt with. I'm a candidate for that one. Maybe it's something from a previous broken marriage or a broken relationship, whatever it was that he brings into this thing called marriage. And those things are going to have to be remedied before what you're asking for to be remedied. In other words, ladies, you don't want just the surface. You want the deep. And in order to get the deep, you got to pray the deep stuff. And in this drive-through world, how much time do we spend, ladies, how much time do we spend, men, in prayer? I mean gut prayer, God-first prayer. That's going to make the difference. That's going to make the difference. One more sentence, and then I'll get off of it. A beautiful, nagging wife is not beautiful. Beauty will not hold a marriage together, right? Those Bible study books that you have, you know why I created those? I didn't create those because I was bored. I didn't create them because I thought it was cool, or I'm super creative because I'm not super creative. This time, all I had to do was reprint them from 12 years ago. That's super creative. I made them because life isn't about Sunday. That's why I made them. Life's not about Sunday. If you come to church faithfully every Sunday and your Monday is different than your Sunday, it did nothing for you. Because what we do in this room on Sunday, I mean, it's a couple hours and it's over. And you probably don't even remember what I preached. Well, you probably do remember what I preached last Sunday because I separated you. But what did I preach 3 Sundays ago, right? It's not meant to stick with you and change your life. It's meant to build unity in the body. That's why we come together. What will stick with you in your life is when you take things like that Bible study book and whatever else you're looking at or you're studying and apply it into your life. That will transform you from the inside out. That's what's going to be last. But if your Sunday is not like your Monday or your Tuesday or your Wednesday or your Thursday, and that's consistent in your life, you're either lost or you do not understand why you were created. That's what it all comes down to. And that goes for everybody in the room, right? We were made for so much more. And God, in his patience, is just waiting to see it blossom. And it can, because the Spirit of God that lives in us is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. So don't say he can't. The question is, what am I going to do? Am I going to undergird? It's your choice. And what will follow will be based on that decision. Am I going to lead? It's your choice. And what will follow will be based on that decision. In other words, we have no one to blame but ourselves. We fall in the plan of God. And if you're married, it takes two, and that's where it's hard. But do your part first and see what God does as he moves. Okay? All right, Father, thank you, God, for hard things. Yeah, God, thank you for lessons that we don't want to learn, or lessons, Father, that don't just last for a minute. May we learn to thank you and praise you for those things. God, my prayer this morning would be that the ladies in our church know their value. They are kingdom women. And God, you have a purpose and a plan for them that is amazing for themselves and for their families. May take to heart what's said, if nothing else, to teach to another person or to their daughters. Maybe, hopefully, to put in their own lives, depending on where they are. Father, for the men. God, for us to sometimes, you know, just learn how to turn outward from our boxes. To be patient. More than anything, to be leaders. God, to take hold of, to take charge of the things we don't want to do, but we know you have commissioned us to do. To lead in our homes, to lead in our jobs, to lead in the church, to lead in the community, to lead in front of lost people. And Father, to be consistent. God, check our attitudes, check our tempers. Show us ourselves. We're all sinners. We're all broken. We're all struggling. And I thank you, Father, that your word says that if anyone is in Christ, that he's no longer condemned. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. God, you forgive us again and again. You pick us up over and over because you see the beauty that you have purposed for our lives, and you never give up on us. Thank you, Father, for what you are doing, what you have done, and what you will. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, these altars are open. You could come to an altar. You can pray. Stay as long as you need. If you want someone to pray with you, raise your hand. Someone will come and join you there.